You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. It's your pet. Health matters. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, and I'm honored to be your guest host while Dr. Bernadine Cruz races with the dogs in sunny Alaska. Dr. Cruz, I'm sure your listeners miss you and will be really excited to hear all about your amazing Alaska trip. Well, thank you all for listening today. Today's show is another great and informative one about genetic problems in pets and what we should all be aware of. Our expert guest today is Dr. Cynthia O'Connor, who, after working as an emergency clinician and general practitioner in veterinary medicine, has been pursuing specialty training in the area of veterinary medical genetics, pediatrics, and reproduction at the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. I'm proud of that because that's where I went to vet school, and I'm happy to hear they're really bringing medicine to the next level. In addition to her professional interests, Cindy's been breeding and exhibiting Portuguese water dogs for over 15 years as an active member of the Portuguese Water Dog Club of America, and she's also on their board of directors. She's unbelievable. I sat with her at Westminster, and I learned so much just from somebody who has shown animals and really has a great idea about all the different genetic and physical properties of all these different amazing dogs. She's just a wealth of knowledge. There are very few veterinarians out there with this type of expertise, so we're really fortunate to have her as our guest today. Well, stay tuned to find out what a genetic disease is, how to test for them, and what we can do about them if we find them. We'll be right back with Dr. O'Connor after these messages.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, and with us now is veterinary geneticist, pediatrician, and reproduction specialist, Dr. Cynthia O'Connor. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
So tell me, what does someone who's a veterinary geneticist, pediatrician, and reproduction specialist do when you go to work every day?
Well, it's a wonderful aspect of veterinary medicine that I think is an exciting and growing new field. It's fantastic to work with both breeders, pet owners, and also veterinarians that are referring some of these cases to us on a daily basis. So we see a variety of different types of cases where we can do genetic counseling. We can talk about some of the known inherited diseases in some of the purebred animals. And with the breeders, we talk about some available genetic health screening tests so that they can apply those before breeding in order to try and reduce the incidences of these diseases.
What are typical genetic diseases that our listeners might be aware of?
There's quite a wide variety of genetic diseases that are out there, and it's a growing list that seems to be almost growing on a daily basis of those diseases that we know are genetic, and that we're finding and uncovering different types of causes for these genetic diseases, the different types of mutations. Some of the more common ones that people may think about are eye diseases. For example, we have found some genetic causes for cataracts. And then some of the more complex diseases where we know there's a genetic influence to it, but other factors may play a role, such as environmental factors, are things like hip dysplasia and even different types of cancers.
Wow. So do all genetic diseases are young? Is it something? Is it the same thing as an inherited disease or a disease they're born with? Can you clarify that for us?
Sure. There's a lot of confusion between the term inherited and congenital. So with congenital diseases, that describes a disease that an animal is born with. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that's an inherited disease. There can be a wide variety of toxins, different types of infectious agents, even simple things like too little or too many vitamins that people may be giving pregnant animals can be enough to cause a birth defect, which it would be a congenital disease. Inherited diseases that we see can certainly be congenital. We can see animals that are born with genetic diseases. However, they can also be different types of diseases that exhibit their signs much later in life. So a perfect example of that would be an eye disease that causes blindness called progressive retinal atrophy. And dogs that are affected with that, the most typical breeds that we see, may have a late onset. So they may not show signs of any vision impairment until they're as old as 8 or 9 years of age.
That clears that up. Thank you. So is a breed predisposition the same as a genetic problem?
Well, a predisposition is a tendency to see that particular trait in that breed. And so in most cases when we're considering higher incidences of a particular disease in a breed, we often find that that's one of our indicators that that's a potentially genetic disease. So certainly when we see higher incidences of things like a bleeding disorder in a particular breed, when we look at that much more closely, we'll oftentimes find that there may be a genetic disease that's resulting in that bleeding disorder. Things like von Willebrand's disease or hemophilia.
Just like in people, I guess, huh?
Just like in people. So they can be amazingly similar to people.
Just to clear things up then, inherited diseases, genetic problems, and predisposition, are they all similar?
Oftentimes they're very similar and are oftentimes considered in the same category of diseases.
Okay. So how does the pediatric and reproduction specialty tie into the geneticist role that you play?
Well, I think the veterinary specialty of reproduction, which is called theriogenology, in that specialty we're really the sort of OBGYNs of the veterinary world. So that we really focus on reproductive diseases, reproductive health, and preventative care. And that gives us a very unique insight into pediatrics as well, because in veterinary medicine, we don't have a specific specialty designed for pediatrics at this point, although it's a very new and evolving and growing field. So those of us that are theriogenologists, I think, have a very unique insight into that, because we're the ones that are working with breeders and dealing with neonate and pediatric diseases. Because we have that experience, that really gives us a very good aspect of what types of congenital diseases we see, and since many of those can be inherited and genetic in their basis, that really, I think it ties in nicely to that specialty.
What an exciting job you have. I mean, how many pediatricians and genetic counselors and reproduction specialists are there?
Well, the reproductive specialty is really a fairly small specialty in veterinary medicine, but again, I think that by giving us a unique insight into the pediatrics and genetics and tying that all in with reproduction, it is one of the specialty areas that I think is going to be one of the growing fields in this profession.
How does somebody know to even look for the possibility of a genetic disorder in their pet?
Well, that one can be sometimes a little difficult. So that's where involving our a team approach where we involve both the pet owners, oftentimes breeders, and our referring veterinarians to help us to determine, you know, whether or not this could be have a genetic component to it. And oftentimes we look at things like what is going on with litter mates, what's happening with parents and other even more distant relatives. So that's where it's nice to get some of the breeders involved because they really know the health history of all of the relatives in, with those dogs. And then getting a good, clear picture of that disease from the veterinarian as well as the pet owner. So oftentimes we can see specific known diseases that have very well-described syndromes that potentially, because they're so rare, a regular practicing veterinarian may not see that on a daily basis. But being a fairly unique aspect of this particular specialty, you know, we see those more frequently than I think our general practitioners do.
Absolutely. I was thinking that there must be so many genetic disorders that are actually probably missed because maybe it's such a severe problem that the pet doesn't live from it, or that somebody may not even realize that there's a specialist they could go to figure those kinds of things out.
Yeah, I think many of them that potentially are missed, or the majority of them I think that are missed, unfortunately are probably the puppies that don't survive beyond getting placed into their new home. So these are like early neonatal deaths that are probably have a higher incidence where we miss some of those genetic diseases because unfortunately the breeder may not be looking for them. So it really points at the importance to investigate any early age, you know, death that can occur. And then I think for some of the pet owners and the veterinarians, there's really a growing knowledge of the types of genetic testing that we have available and that this is a resource out there for them that we can certainly start to uncover some of those potential diseases that may otherwise be missed.
It's really important then for pet owners to learn about genetic testing, I would imagine.
It's important because I think a lot of pet owners take the attitude that they're not breeding their dog, they don't need to do any sort of genetic testing because it's not going to be a problem for them. I think for them it's a very good opportunity to become an educated puppy owner and an educated puppy buyer. I think it's a great way for people to start looking for responsible breeders, breeders that are going to really work hard to improve the health of their dogs and that are really looking out for, you know, the best interests of these dogs. So rather than being an impulse buyer, I think it's really good for puppy owners to then do some of the research into this and understanding that there are genetic tests available and an understanding, you know, what breeders can do to try and improve the health of their breed, they really will, improve their chances of finding a good breeder and finding a very healthy new addition to their family.
So who would actually be somebody, I guess it seems more like breeders would be the ones to really take advantage of genetic testing?
For the most part, when we're looking at people that we're counseling, oftentimes those are the breeders that we're looking at. The majority of health tests that are out there, targeting specific tests to specific breeds, and helping them to sort through the different types of tests that are an option for them. But it's still very widely utilized by pet owners when we're faced with a pet that's affected with a potential disease, genetic disease.
So how do you identify a genetic disease, and what type of actual genetic testing is there? I can see that a breeder may want to make sure that certain abnormalities won't be bred into their puppies, but how do you actually do that?
Well, the nice part about our tests are that, first I think we have to go back and look at the different types of tests that are available. When we typically think of genetic tests, we think of actually looking for a specific mutation in a gene that will cause a disease. And those are the most sensitive types of tests that we have available. So we know exactly what mutation causes that disease, and we can do in most cases a blood or even a blood test or even a test on some cheek swabs or other cells that we can then tell if that animal is normal, is a carrier, or is affected with that particular genetic defect. And while that's excellent in the ideal scenario, that's very breed specific. So just because one particular breed has a mutation in the gene that causes the disease doesn't mean another breed may. So it does kind of limit it in that factor that it becomes very breed specific. In other cases, we can look for areas around a gene that are common in affected animals or aren't there in normal animals. And while that's not the exact mutation, it's in many cases better than having no tests at all. And those are linked marker types of tests. And many cases you'll find a result that says something like a probable carrier, or oftentimes they'll report it as maybe a letter or a number indicating that it's not the actual mutation that they found, but it's associated with that mutation. Well, wow. Those are the best types of cases we could have, types of genetic tests that we can have. If we don't have a test like that, oftentimes what we look for, the disease in the animal, and we call that a phenotypic test because that's what's been expressed by that animal. So a perfect example of that would be for looking at hip x-rays to see if they have evidence of hip dysplasia before deciding to breed them.
You know, there are so many diseases out there. Well, we have to take a break right now, Dr. O'Connor, but when we come back, we'll all continue learning about why genetic testing is important and what we can all do to prevent genetic diseases from being passed on. When we come back from this commercial break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
We're back, and we're glad you waited because we have veterinary geneticist, pediatrician, and reproduction specialist Dr. Cynthia O'Connor discussing the importance of knowledge of inherited diseases and what we can do with that knowledge. We've been talking recently about all the different types of tests that are out there for genetic diseases. And Cindy, there are so many inherited or genetic diseases out there. Do we have tests for all of them?
we don't have tests for all of them, and in fact, there's probably a list, probably quite a few genetic diseases that we don't even know about yet. We're discovering new ones on a daily basis, and as our information about the types of inheritance as well as the types of mutations that can occur, as that science grows, as does our ability to identify the underlying cause of those diseases.
So there's all different tests, and I can understand the tests that are, you know, done on animals that are already born, but is there anything we can do for animals that aren't born yet or to maybe alter the course or the progression of genetic diseases?
Well, at this point, the best scenario that we have is to try and get to the breeders before the animal's actually pregnant. And that's the best that we can do to try and prevent these genetic diseases. And by doing by offering genetic counseling to breeders, we can help them to make educated decisions that bring their particular breed in the direction they want to go, but also doing it in a way that continues to maintain the health and the genetic diversity of that breed. So I think that's very important. But if we do get to the point where you identify the potential for a genetic disease in utero, it's a difficult situation because that's where dogs are much different than people, and even cats for that matter, because we're talking about litters. We're not talking about single baby. We're talking about potentially as many as 10 or 11. And you may have one animal that's affected in that litter, and you potentially could have the rest of them be carriers or normal. So it brings up some very difficult situations, and it's difficult to test to see which one potentially would be affected and which one would be non-affected in utero at this point. But maybe that will change in the future.
It's amazing to think about all the different ways that we can affect what the outcome is. Now, you were talking about breeders, and I'm sure our listeners are thinking, well, what about puppy mills, and what about interbreeding relatives, you know, one dog to its relative? What happens in that situation? Are they more likely to develop inherited disorders? Are we breeding for certain problems? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a tough situation nowadays, particularly because I think the media certainly has a lot out there about things like puppy mills and scenarios of what really should be more appropriately called irresponsible breeders, because at least in our clinic we see all really responsible people, and I hope the public can know that there's a large proportion of people out there that are doing this as a hobby. It's not a business, and they're dedicating a lot of time, a lot of resources to really improve the health and well-being of their dogs. And in doing so, certainly any time we're dealing with purebred dogs, for that matter, you're dealing with, in some cases, a fairly small gene pool. And in those situations, we can see a higher incidence of recessive-type disorders. So those are genes that you need to have two copies, one from the mother, one from the father, and both of them have to be copies of the affected gene to express that disease. That doesn't mean that even if you're a mixed breed dog, while we see less recessive diseases, we can still see just as many dominant diseases and even complex disorders. Things like hip dysplasia and cancer are still diseases that affect mixed breed dogs.
So if you have, I would imagine that you don't see very many people that are running puppy mills in your practice. You see the responsible breeders. You see people who care enough to admit that it may not be in the breed's best interest to breed a certain pet. How does somebody know if they're dealing with a responsible breeder or not?
Well, that's why I think that it's very important for pet owners to understand genetic testing, because I think it's a great way for them to really use it as a mechanism to see how these breeders are working to improve the health of their dogs. It always amazes me that people will fall into the trap of impulse buying. And they won't do that same scenario for if you are out buying a car. people would never imagine buying a car sight unseen off the internet without having any idea what sort of history that car has. So why would you not do the same for an animal that you're going to trust to sleep in the same bed as your children? So it's really important that people become very educated consumers.
So would they ask the breeder if the breeder has had any genetic testing done?
I think it's really important to find a breeder, meet them in person, see what conditions their dogs are in, and discuss all the health issues that are associated with their dogs, and look for someone that's going to be open and honest.
Yeah, how do you know? How do you know if they're going to tell you the truth? I mean, I hate to say it, but most breeders, I wouldn't believe a word they said because they don't want to say anything bad about their breed. And I guess that's really unfair of me, but I get so tainted by people that are trying to sell dogs more than they're trying to be altruistic.
In a lot of cases, the media jumps onto that, but there are really a large percentage of people that are working hard and being honest. And I think people, pet owners have to, or prospective pet owners have to understand that if there's a recessive disease, just because a dog is a carrier of it doesn't mean it's going to have any impact on its life and quality as a pet. So by understanding those types of things, they can continue to have a dialogue with breeders that will allow them to share that information and have this, really get that feeling of going to be a resource for them for the rest of their life. If you don't get that feeling, then I think it's certainly go to find another breeder. Find someone who's going to be open and honest with you. And there are growing resources that prospective buyers can use to try and help find what sort of recommended tests are for particular breeds. And you can actually look at databases to see what tests have been done. Also ask the breeder, look for results of health testing. And that can help you to determine whether or not this is someone that's being honest with you.
How do you find out what tests you can actually get genetic tests for? What health concerns there are genetic tests for?
There's quite a bit of information that you can find on the internet, but as we know, some resources are better than others. Some great resources are certainly, one is the American Kennel Club, because what that will do is if you're looking for specific purebred dogs, there will be links on their website to the parent club, and many parent clubs have websites that will explain all of the health concerns in that breed, so they're fantastic resources. They also oftentimes have health committees that are instrumental in helping to gather all sorts of health information about that breed, as well as help to fund research opportunities into the genetic basis of those diseases. Another great resource that people can look at is the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals has a Canine Health Information Center, which is basically a database that holds all of the health testing results of participating breeds. So people can go on there, click what dog they're interested in, see the recommended health tests, and then search it to see which dogs had those health tests completed.
That's amazing. You know, as a veterinarian, I've been a veterinarian for 19 years, I'm embarrassed to say almost, but actually 18, okay, 18. But I just can't believe how far we've come, you know, in developing these kind of tests. Now, what about health concerns where there is no available genetic test?
Well, those are difficult because in some cases what we're left with are looking more at the phenotype of the animal. So doing that, what they're expressing, do they have any evidence of the disease? So a perfect example of that, like I mentioned before, was hip dysplasia. So we don't have a genetic test because we know that that particular genetic disease is a complex trait. So there's probably more than one gene, potentially many, and in many cases environmental factors that play a role in whether or not a dog is going to develop signs of hip dysplasia. So what we're left with is breeders that are going to look at making sure that they're not breeding a dog that has hip dysplasia to try and do their best to reduce the incidence of that disease.
So what do? They see that their particular litters have had a higher incidence, and so maybe they'll breed two different dogs the next time?
Well, the best that we can do at this point is actually look at, make sure that both parents, don't have any evidence of hip dysplasia. So making sure that they've had one of the modalities, and there's several available to look at that involving x-rays, make sure that they've had x-rays done and they don't show any evidence of the disease. And then in addition to that, what many breeders will do, and these are very responsible breeders, is that they will encourage all of the puppies from a litter to have their hips x-rayed. And by doing so, you get more of a picture of how much of this could be a problem in your line. And by selectively breeding for dogs that have lower incidences of hip dysplasia in their line, eventually they will lower the incidence of that disease in their line as well.
And hallelujah.
Yeah, hopefully in the future we'll have a genetic test. I think those are things that people are working very hard on now.
It's unbelievable. I remember doing research one summer that had, you know, continuing research that had been done for years and years and years, and publishing a paper when I was in college, and then within a year of publishing that, they found the gene for the disease I was researching. We had found a test from saliva, but they actually found the gene, so they didn't need our information anymore. But it's just remarkable how quickly science moves along. I have one more question for you before we have to close our show. I heard about a service where the DNA of a pet can be analyzed to determine what breeds are in a mutt, so what they're mixed with. I call my dogs Heinz 57s, but could you actually find out what breeds your dog is made of, and maybe that would help you to understand what to look for in them as they get older?
Sure. There are a couple of companies now that have what they call a mixed breed test, and so with that, they're using specific genetic markers to look at the predominant breeds that make up your mix. And, you know, with that test, it can help you to determine probably get a better idea of some of the physical characteristics that, you know, your cute little puppy that you would bring home, whether that's going to turn into a 150-pound dog or whether it's going to be a smaller dog. The difficulty with that as far as some of our genetic tests is that the majority of tests that we have available nowadays are tests for recessive type disorders. And so we know with some of our mixed breed dogs that we see less in terms of those recessive disorders. And so if you have a genetic disease, it's more commonly going to either be a dominant disease or a complex trait. So things like hip dysplasia, cancer, other things from that nature that affect all breeds. And so it may not necessarily give you specifics as far as what you have to look for particular genetic diseases, but it will help with other things like what sort of traits the dog has, what sort of temperament and personality you might be able to expect if you start thinking about the different breeds that make it up.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to throw one more question in, and it's not really a fair question because we don't have very much time, but tell me what your thought is on cloning.
On cloning. Certainly, the one thing people have to keep in mind is that even though you may genetically make the same animal, there's going to be a lot of environmental influences. And so it's not going to be the same dog or the same cat that you've had in the past. So people always have to keep those kind of things in mind when they start making some of those emotional decisions. And at this point in time, it's amazingly expensive. I think the last dog that was cloned cost about $150,000. So, I believe that might have been a litter of Staffordshire Terriers. I can't remember the exact breed. So, people have to keep all of those things in mind. And particularly when you look at things similar to if you have a calico cat, for example, if you clone that cat, because of the way the calico coloring turns out, you're probably not going to even come close to the same color pattern in the cloned animal.
Okay, folks, you hear that? Cloning might sound like a good idea, but maybe it's better to put a picture on the mantle and remember all the wonderful memories you had of that pet. Well, we're out of time right now. We really want to thank our guest, Dr. Cynthia O'Connor, and of course, our ever patient and talented producer, Mark Winter, for making this show possible. I've learned so much today, and thank you so much, Dr. O'Connor.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
If you have any additional questions for Dr. O'Connor or for me, Dr. Diane Levitan, or if you'd like transcripts of this show or any other show on Pet Life Radio Network, just go to PetLifeRadio.com and click on the Pet Doctor. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for our show, please email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. It's been my pleasure to guest host The Pet Doctor, and I hope you hear from me again soon.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.